This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington as well, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Eric Bickle. And right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, it's our pal Craig Hoffman. He covers the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan. He's brought to you by Dell EMC and TVAR Solutions, transforming the federal data center. All hey, Craig.
Morning, fellas.
Craig is big time, so he's sponsored. I like that. That's a good thing. Hey,
but
by
Craig,
the way, I just checked the weather report for Miami. I'm assuming you're flying down at some point on Saturday. Mid-80s. Looks pretty nice. Looks pretty tasty for your trip.
My plan is to go directly to my hotel and sit by the pool and try to recapture any tan that has left me since Richmond, which
very
is
good.
All of it.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on Case being announced the starter? And will Dwayne be active or inactive? What are they going to do at backup?
My guess is, or my educated guess, Case will be officially announced today, and Colt will be the backup. That's my guess. I don't agree with it, but I get it, in that I understand what happened here. I think that Colt, from a decision-making standpoint, which is we've talked about 100,000 times, the quarterback is a decision-making position. Colt made good decisions on Sunday. There were a couple times he needed to pull the trigger faster, and that was in part because his timing wasn't off because he practiced four times and was coming off the injury, and in part because he was playing the New England Patriots. So his eyes were in the right place. There were about two plays on Sunday, that's it, where he wasn't, at least trying to do the right thing. Executing is obviously a big part of it, but that's going to come with time, and again, not playing the Patriots. And so when you look at how Case had performed earlier in the year, he was all over the place. The first half against Philadelphia was awesome. But even the second half of that game and then the next couple games, he missed a ton. And I would be playing Colt. I would give Colt that chance. And if his production wasn't there against Miami, then fine. You go back to Case or whatever you want to do. But the reality is this is a political decision. Is
Case 100% with the foot?
I'm not 100% sure on that. Case is really coy about that stuff. So I think he's a lot better.
Looked like he ran well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, it's Colt is Jay's guy.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Let's be really frank about this. Colt was Jay's guy, and the organization wants to move on from Jay. So they're going to Case. And then Dwayne will be the guy when he's ready or closer to ready to play.
This is just an awful game in terms of the records, obviously. But I'd be hard pressed to find two teams that had tougher schedules in the first month. The Redskins obviously had the Eagles, the Bears, the Patriots. Who am I missing? Dallas. The Dolphins have played, they're 0-4 and they've been outscored by a billion, but they played the Ravens. They played the Cowboys. They played the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They played the Chargers.
Yep.
Now the Chargers aren't great, but they got Rivers. So both of these teams have awful records, but they played some of the tougher schedules. I think the Dolphins are going to win the game. I have a little small bet with Bickle. I think they're going to win. I won't even take the points. You're getting 3.5 in this matchup. I just think they're going to win this game. I just think,
saying that because you have no regard for the Skins.
Because I think the Skins suck a little worse. That's my vibe.
But it's
have
not
you
true,
looked
though.
At Miami's roster?
Yes, they got nothing.
They're terrible.
But you know what? The Giants are terrible too, and the Skins look awful against the
Dolphins.
The Dolphins
are a different kind of terrible.
Hey, at least the Dolphins are—they're terrible by design. The Redskins are terrible just because
they're just terrible.
Yeah, they're just terrible,
right? Yeah. Kevin Clark had a tweet. Kevin Clark from the Ringer had a tweet like that blew up like 3 weeks ago, and then obviously it's gotten even worse since. He's like, the difference in Miami and Washington is Miami is doing it on purpose,
right?
Well, the players aren't trying to lose; the executives are.
Sure.
So the players are trying to go out there and make plays. They're trying to win jobs. So
sure. The executives in Washington thought they were going to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So remember. Right. Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Yeah. They're close. Close to Miami, apparently.
And they have a damn good culture. Don't forget that one.
Yep. And how could I? I'm there every day.
By the way, why is Case Keenum so much better than Josh Rosen? Why is Adrian Peterson so much better than Kenyon Drake?
Are like the two best players. If you want to say Rashad Jones and Landon Collins too, fine. But like, you're going to run out of dudes real quick.
I know. I'm just not that impressed. But I could be wrong.
They're really bad, especially up front, and that's where I think the Redskins have a chance to really have a bounce back kind of game. Is like Miami's O line isn't any good. Not that the Redskins has been so far this year, mm-hmm. But they're a different level of worse. If they can figure out how to dominate defensively up front, shut it down completely, get a ton of pressure on Rosen, you have to think they can probably force a couple of turnovers. And then offensively, it's going to come down to whether or not they can do what Callahan wants. Like, he wants to run the ball. If they can, they're going to smoke Miami. Mm-hmm. If they are just moderately successful, you're probably looking at a closer game, and that's probably the most likely outcome. And if they can't, then they're going to be in trouble because they're going to shorten this game and have less possessions to mess around with because they want to run the football a ton. Like, that's by design, but that's the best strategy when you're not the better team. They are talent-wise the better team here. The larger the sample size, the better things are for you. So we'll see how that happens, if they almost run themselves into a game, so to speak.
Joined by Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter. He's got a bunch of columns out at thefandc.com, which you can read with Inside Skinny on the coaching change, the quarterback change, and more. Let's talk about the coaching change and tell us about how different it is. If you see it as very different, we've read about some, practice things being a little bit different. What is Callahan bringing to the table?
He's bringing structure, which this team needed. Jay was very reliant, and, I think that it's a little open to interpretation if this is a flaw or not. And I'm saying that not necessarily as just an independent, like, reporter, analyst, whatever the hell I am. Players certainly are on different sides of this equation as well. But Jay was incredibly reliant on the fact that these were pros and that they would just do exactly what they were supposed to do, and they'd put in the extra work, and they would pay attention to detail, and that these were the best of the best, and he was relying on that. Callahan's bringing a lot more structure, and for this team, I actually do think that is the right play, because this is a very young team. And so you look at when Jay was successful here, it's when he had more veterans. The 15 team, obviously, that wins the division, his only playoff appearance. You have guys like Will Blackman around. Obviously, Deshaun and Pierre. You have, and not like Deshaun is the world's best pro, but he does get his work done, and he will show up on Sundays. You have a lot of guys that are still learning how to be pros in this league. And so for this particular team, certainly Callahan is the better structure, attention to detail, all that kind of stuff, discipline. They needed that. And Jay was certainly trying harder, I think, on that front this year. You saw some of that in training camp, but all of a sudden he makes the O-line and D-line run and all this stuff, and everyone's like, whoa, it maybe Club J's over. and it's just day-to-day, that's not who Jay is. And so I think that it was time, clearly, to make the move. And some of the – and then there's just, like, other stuff that I just don't understand why they weren't doing it a long time ago. For instance, the officials at practice, I actually asked Jay about this last week. I was like, what can you do? Are you allowed to invite officials to practice? Like, how do you fix the penalties? And he just ran out of answers to the same questions. And so Callahan all of a sudden is sitting there like, yeah, I got an answer. How do we bring officials to practice? And it's stuff like that just – I don't understand why that stuff wasn't done earlier. And if it had, then maybe Jay still has a job. But those are some of the, to me, the most significant changes. The structure, the emphasis on, you know, ball security, things like that. And then, you know, an emphasis on the penalties and the details and the things that are going to help them win games, because the margins are really small in this league, and that's where these games are won and lost.
Now, of course, he had one of the most penalized units running the offensive line, but that's neither here nor there. I want to ask you about...
Well, here, let me just real quick on that, like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
If the coaches are the ones calling the penalties in practice and they're also the one teaching the technique, they're not going to call a lot of holding.
Right.
It's different to have an outside set of eyes on it.
I mean, it's so obvious. The fact that they didn't do that a long time ago is kind of mind-boggling.
Yep. I wanted to ask you, and it feels like this happened a few weeks ago with all the national stuff front and center. But the press conference that Bruce Allen gave, that was earlier this week. It does feel like it was a couple weeks ago.
Was that on Monday?
But it was this week. They changed the coach this week. All eyes have been on the Nationals. And so it seems like forever ago. And
no,
I wanted
cares.
To ask you about the Dan Nobody Snyder does. Angle. I think somebody in the presser asked him, are we going to hear from Dan Snyder? And Bruce Allen said, well, I'm talking, as if he talks very often. And this is kind of a wacky question, but when I watched the White House press corps and
boring.
President Trump or whoever, President Obama, whoever had been president, they're walking to the helicopter. You'll hear guys just yell questions out. And occasionally, the president will stop and answer a couple of questions. And
I know your question.
Does Daniel Snyder, has it gotten to the point, does anybody ever yell and lob questions
to
Dan and say, hey, Dan, do you want to come over and talk? Or has everybody just given up?
We don't even have, like, we need a helicopter walk to be able to do that.
When he's on the field, I saw
he's
a picture
so far away, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Could you yell at him from 50 yards away? Hey, Dan, we'd love to talk to you.
I mean, I guess we could at the practice field, but I feel like they would very quickly shut that down.
Right. Does he ever walk by you in the hallways?
No, because we're not in any part of the building that
he's so insulated, JP. He doesn't come in contact.
It's all purposeful, too.
Because I was thinking about this last night. Robert Kraft was sitting down with, like, the NFL Network guys. Well, he's just sitting out pregame.
He's a different person.
Yeah, and
Kraft
is a different person. He's celebrated, and his team wins all the time.
Right.
It's way different.
Kraft likes the media. Kraft makes himself available. Dan does the complete opposite. He tries to hide from it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Right, Greg?
No, it is. It is ridiculous. He's the owner of a team, and while the NFL teams are privately owned, it is a public trust in that the whole thing works because of the fans. And we are the conduit as the media for the fans to get answers. And why is Bruce Allen still employed when he's won 39% of his games is a question that one person on the whole earth can answer, and he refuses to even take it. We did put in an interview request. I may have put the words, we heard he's available from time to time in the email request for that.
Nice.
That request came back as a no. So it is incredibly frustrating.
In your years as a beat reporter, have you ever spoken to Daniel Snyder?
I have once. I was about to tell you that story. Like, one time in the entire 5 years that I've covered this team now, I have talked to Daniel Snyder, and it was the famed media party a couple years ago down in Richmond, or last year down in Richmond, when he and Bruce showed up at Paul Woody's house. And Dan held court, and he was actually great. Like, he told stories and was personal. He went around to each and every one of us and was like, all right, I want to know your name and what outlet you work for and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, I remember telling Tony Wiley at the time, the since-departed PR chief for the Redskins that everybody knows, going, like, why didn't he talk to us more often? If that's who he is, which obviously there is another side to Dan that is also incredibly well-documented, but if that's who he is, and that is who he is capable of being, then he should talk way more, because it'd be good for him and it'd be good for your franchise. Why doesn't he do interviews? And Tony's like, he just doesn't want to. He had a bad experience with the press very early on, and that's how he is. And so I don't get it. It doesn't make sense, but clearly there's a lot of things this organization does that don't make any sense.
All right, so you think that based on the rosters, the Skins will win this weekend. I disagree, but who knows? If they lose this game and they're 0-6 and they've lost to the worst team in the league, what's that mean for the rest of the year? Do you even see another win on the schedule? They can't beat the Dolphins?
Yeah, I don't think that. Look, we can make fun of how the close thing and all that kind of stuff. It's mea culpa for me. I mean, I thought this team was going to be competitive. I didn't think they'd necessarily bring it home and make the playoffs or anything. They would have needed a ton of luck injury-wise, and they've had the opposite of that with guys like Jordan Reed specifically being out. And I can't help but think how different this would be if he was healthy. But eventually, like, Geis is going to come back. That adds another weapon. Mm-hmm. And this defense is going to have a week where it doesn't, you know, self-implode. So I do think there's probably a couple wins on the schedule to be 0-16 bad. I mean, it's only happened once. So if they can probably string together a couple of wins.
Well, they'll be dogs in all of those games. Maybe not the Jet game.
I don't feel confident enough in the Redskins to pick them in my survivor pool this weekend. So it's not like I think they're absolutely crazy. Like right. I've watched every single snap of this team this year. But I do think that like, they're not 0-16 bad, which is not exactly refreshing.
Yeah.
What do you get the sense from Callahan? I hate to belabor the quarterback point, but what do you get the sense from him when he's planning to give Haskins a shot?
Yeah, I don't know that they have like a week circled. I would imagine probably like either the Buffalo game or after the Buffalo game would make sense just chronologically. Like when we all were looking at this, we said, okay, maybe Miami. And clearly they don't think Dwayne's ready yet. So Buffalo is after Minnesota. Minnesota's the Thursday nighter. So you'd have 10 days to get him ready, and then you have the bye after it. The problem with Buffalo is that defense is gross. So if you want his first start to be on the road against a top-notch defense and give him a challenge, and if he's ready for it, then fine, do it. But they might wait till after the bye. They're not doing this based off schedule, and they're just doing this based off when Dwayne, they feel, has had enough practice reps and has made the leaps and bounds that he needs to, because now they are developing him, by the way. I think that is probably the most significant long-term news out of the week, outside of the actual coaching change itself, is they're taking time to give reps to Dwayne and a lot of other young players. They're having actual development periods during practice. And so whenever he can, with those reps, close the gap, they might just say, all right, you're ready now. But if they do it based off schedule, either Buffalo or I'm trying to remember who's next. It's a home game. It might be the Jets.
Niners. It might be the Jets.
Or Jets.
I think it's the Jets. The Niners are actually next weekend.
Niners
so
next
I
week.
Think it's the Jets. In early, or I guess at that point, mid-November would be the games that I kind of have eye on right now.
Right.
All right, Craig. Appreciate
Thank you,
time
buddy.
As always.
Appreciate
you got it.
Have a good trip.
Boys.
Yep, have fun in Miami.
Down there. All right.
Can't get there fast enough.
Yeah. I wouldn't want a guy to lose their job, but I would lob questions to Daniel Snyder. He's 50 yards away. Hey, Dan, can we talk?
You know he's not going to answer.
Right.
I mean,
just to see the reaction.
I know. But here's what you have to understand, and it's just a conflict that will always exist, is that these guys that cover the team regularly, they'll get grief, and then they might get their credential pulled.
I understand.
If you don't act, it's a problem. It's a problem with the media that covers the White House. It covers everything. If you step out of line and out of protocol, you risk losing access. So it's difficult.
But it's crazy that we have to be more reverential to a Redskins owner than whoever the president is.
Well,
because they've always lobbed questions at presidents.
Right, but that's just part of the culture. That's the culture. When a president walks away, scream questions. That's not the culture at Redskins Park. And so you're being a disruptor.
You would think if you were at the park every day, like Craig Hoffman is, for 5 years, you would have a conversation
and I know
with
that
the owner.
No, because why? Because Dan avoids you. He doesn't go where you go.
We've heard this story for years, and it was brought up again this week with LeVar Arrington talked about it, and I think Andrew Brandt had a story about it, too, that Daniel Snyder insists on being called Mr. Snyder.
And you can't look at him.
I think that's just so tilting. Like
as I was tweeting this weekend, I also know three people that work with him and said that was, for
that's
them, that wasn't true.
Okay,
so it's different rules for different people.
Yeah.
They all call him Dan.
If you make that rule for one person, you're a bad person.
Was LeVar talking about that from a player standpoint, or was he just saying people who work there?
I think
there?
LeVar was saying that unless you had a certain status or stature as a player, like Dan Snyder wouldn't even look at you, or you're not supposed to look at him, or you're not supposed to address him.
Well, we were
him.
Told that when we were at – when we had – the rights to the Redskins in the, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, and Dan took over the team in 99, we were told when we had our credentials, and we would hang out right next to the owner's suite,
right,
you're not allowed to look at Dan in the eye. And mm-hmm. I can remember thinking, well, I can't wait to look at that turd in the eye. What's he going to do?
Right.
But it never really happened. The only time we
privileges?
Came in contact with him was, I remember one time, He walked by us, but he had an army of people around
him. Six security dudes around him. You couldn't see him.
Yeah, yeah.
You saw like the top of his tiny little head.
Exactly.
And six guys were like Jason's eyes protecting him.
That
in his own
so
stadium.
Weird.
He is a weirdo.
Yeah.
He's just a weird dude.
800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we'll get back into Game 1 National League Championship Series. What's your vibe? Are you riding the wave? They've won two straight elimination games. Do they win Game 1 tonight? Nats with Anibal Sanchez on the mound against the Cardinals. 800-636-1067. We'll get into that next here on The Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Per EB's suggestion, I just tweeted out a picture, four pictures. I just walked right down the hallways. Picture left, picture right, walk down the hallway, picture left, picture right of our place of business. And
yes,
just the random junk being piled up in every little nook and cranny of this place.
I paid no attention to it whatsoever. I went and used the bathroom and I heated up some sausage in the microwave and I walked right by the chair graveyard.
There are two chair graveyards, by the way.
It's so normal.
Twice about it.
It's so normal to me, it doesn't even register.
It's normal.
Yeah,
business as usual.
Yeah. So you can follow me on Twitter at GlassJoeJP. Maybe it is normal in other places of business. I don't remember. I went to visit my dad's office like twice.
Yeah,
when I was growing up, you know, and like bring your kid to work day. Some of the most boring days of my life. He worked for the Department of Labor, the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That's my father's ultimate position. He was an economist. Prior to that, he actually worked as a stonemason, was a builder, and all that sort of thing. But then he got a government job, and that, I don't remember if they just had random chairs down the hallways.
Probably didn't.
Probably not.
Probably,
but that's our place of business.
They're probably not going to be too sized at the company that you tweeted that. Then I think about it. But what are you going to do?
If you're curious,
it's already sent.
At GlassJoeJP, and you can tell me. Maybe that's how your place of business is, too. Like, I don't know. You got an appraisal. I guess you're not really going into an office, are you?
Mm-mm.
For closing?
No, but I mean, I used to work like a hospital type place for 2 years,
right?
And in the office, we did have some stuff around. The boss was kind of a hoarder, so we did have some stuff.
We can only hope that JP gets written up by Phil for being insubordinate here at work,
right? For exposing
the
truth.
Pray that happens.
Too much access.
He gets a slap on the wrist
behind the curtain.
Zachary.
Hey, so we just found out on Monday. Pretty cool. We're going to be doing our show from Nats Park. Now, nobody's going to be there on Monday morning from 6 to 10. But we're going to kind of set the scene for game three.
Yeah,
which should be exciting. Maybe then we can work our angle because we're there. Maybe we just stay.
Well, Eric won't be there.
I come back. I'm coming back from Poughkeepsie.
It'll just be the three of us.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we could be like squatters.
So we could just stay. Just not leave.
Go hide in the bathroom.
We just stay.
You think you can't hide in a gigantic stadium? Of course there's someplace
to hide. We talked about it earlier, but people that are just tuning in. Inexplicably, MLB didn't approve the junks for credentials.
I would just go hide in the Diamond Club.
I'm honestly insulted.
I was going to say, I think that's your play. If you can't get any other, you know, through hookups, getting tickets, I think that's your play.
That might be the play.
Now, you obviously couldn't do it because you won't be there. But
we just blend in. There's going to be people milling around.
Yeah, just act like you belong there.
Stay on the field for 10 hours. You know how boring that is?
Here's what you do.
You bring your computer, right? You got your laptop.
You bring that. You bring your credential. Even though it doesn't really work, you still put it around your neck.
Because we have season-long credentials.
Nobody questions it.
But
you're good. You're good.
It would suck to have to stay around the stadium for 9 hours. Or maybe even bring a red polo. And a name tag?
Right.
They think that you're selling hot dogs?
Yeah, they think you're working for the team in some capacity.
I think you could pull it off.
100% I'm just thinking outside the box. Because as you mentioned, we don't have the credentials. As of right now, nobody's given us a ticket.
Like, it's just crazy.
We actually had tickets for the wild card game,
yeah,
but nobody's given us a ticket here.
Well, Eric MLB also gave us credentials for the NLCS, but for the NLDS, I guess they're tightening up shop. and somehow we got on the chopping block. And I just think it's outrageous. I mean, I'm legitimately insulted by it.
I think we could squat on Monday.
Could definitely squat in the stadium. 100%.
There's so many people milling around, getting the field ready.
Yeah. Right. No, you could, but you're not going to do it. It's 15 hours. You're not going to do it. You're talking in the biggest game in history.
Not really 15 hours. It would be from like 10 till 8.
How many hours?
10 a.m. to 8.
That's a long slog.
Ten hours, right?
10 hours.
You're not doing it. Dude, I squatted at the condo before the last game that my sister gave me. It was torture.
You couldn't even find a comfortable place to take a nap.
Yeah.
But if you really wanted to go, that's your way to go.
Well, I'm going
to
go, and somehow I'll find a way, but I've had to put out feelers asking everyone. I mean, this is just crazy. Right now, as of last night, because my wife or my buddies, and my buddy's wife actually looked it up, and standing room only tickets as of last night were $200.
Now, here's the wild card. The game time is to be determined. What if it's an afternoon game? What if it's like a
afternoon game milling around
forever?
It's
going to be a night game. They're not going to play a championship series. Here's it's the only game that night. They're not going to play it.
You go hide in the 106.7 hot box, and you just go lay
toaster,
down in there.
Toaster box.
Yeah, you just go lay
chill
down
out
in there.
By the way, game one tonight going to be 44 degrees, I saw in St. Louis, and possible precip.
I hope Grant Paulson brought a winter jacket for his trip.
Bickle, I was thinking, do you want to do the emotional hedge?
So, I know. I got to think about that. I'll pull back the curtain here. I'm just pulling cash out when I lose these bets and pulling it out of my poker fund. My poker fund is getting depleted here.
Yeah, but you had plenty. You had like 20 grand in your poker fund.
Yeah, when do you play it? Except for our tournament.
What is this made up?
You know, I have the guys
fund.
Over a couple times a year. You know, we go to. I always like to have, you know, G1500, you know, whatever at my disposal.
So some liquid money.
Yeah, a little bit. And so I'm depleting it with these stupid bets. But believe me, I was happy.
I mean, what's it worth for you, for your boys, the Nats, to get to the World Series?
I mean, it's definitely worth 500? Another $250.
I say we do it.
You want to do another 500?
And this, it's even money, too. So if
I don't want to double up on it, because that would just be stupid.
Okay. We'll do 250.
I'll just do the 250 bet again. What? But actually, this will be better.
It's even money. Serious price is even money.
We're not
laying almost 2-1 or more than 2-1 like we did with the Dodgers.
Right.
So 250, man.
I got to decide today.
Yes, you do. Yeah. You don't have much.
You can go game by game.
No, I like the series bet. I can't do game by. I can't predict game by game.
Well, no. So let's say the Nats win tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're still worried about the series that they could come back and win. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, you're getting an even better price since the Cardinals are down 0-1.
Right.
Or 1-0.
I just can't see a scenario where we go up 1-0. I'm used to always
being
behind.
Well, you know what? You just let me know. The Cardinals are slight favorites tonight for game one, but for the series, they're about even money. So you just let me know.
Right.
I'm going to do it. Because I'm
You just like to gamble anyway. I really think you weren't really emotionally hedging the first series. I really think you just thought the Dodgers were going to win, to be honest.
I thought the Dodgers would win, but I want the Nats to win. I mean, I want them to advance. Like I told you before, it just makes coming to work that much more interesting. Right. I don't want to talk about the Dolphins and Skins all week.
Yeah.
You got to do that? I don't want to do that.
Dude, I'm going to be in Poughkeepsie, so my kid has a couple games on Sunday. It's the first Redskins game. I have no interest even watching. Normally I would record it or I'd go out of my way to listen to it while I'm at something or watch it on my phone.
Yeah, no,
I don't even care.
I know.
I don't even care about this game. I can't remember. It's like a week 17 game and here you went like 4-12.
Of the city doesn't care. There might be a smattering of people that
I can't remember this early caring this little. Right?
It's gotten progressively worse. Yeah,
like, even when Marty went 0-5, there was still some intrigue there.
New coach.
They started coming back, and they finished 8-8.
Plus, they benched Jeff George.
Yeah.
A lot of buzz with Bill Callahan.
This team
big
is
buzz.
So dead going into their sixth. It's just unbelievable.
Snyder's killed the fan base.
He's killed everything about it.
Murdered the fan base.
Well, you know when you said, you made a good point. You said that
thank you.
The Skins was one of about three in the last 10 years. You said that there's been two different franchises with the Redskins.
Yeah.
You had the pre-Snyder with Jack Kent Cook, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
That's a totally different franchise.
Yeah, totally different era. Historic.
The Snyder franchise.
Iconic, yeah.
For the last 20 years is a totally different franchise. It really is.
They've been
got the same logo, same colors, but it's a totally
different.
They've
been a laughing stock under Daniel Snyder. Yeah.
Snyder is someone, if I'm assuming the numbers are true. But, like, when Snyder took over, it was a winning franchise, whatever the numbers were, like 60, 70, 80 games, lifetime over 500. if they lose like three more games, it's actually going to be a losing franchise,
right?
Taking all the cook years and everything else into account.
And you blame Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
Not Mr. Snyder, Dan Snyder.
And that's the thing
about... Not calling him Mr. at all.
As I've tried to point out, all of the hatred and venom for Bruce, which is all deserved and all accurate and all correct, it's still not going to change much because Dan's still there.
Right.
So even though you get rid of Bruce, which is inevitable, I don't know when it's going to happen. It might be 5 years. It might be.
I'm going to be here another 10 years.
You're still going to have Dan there. Dan's the common theme.
It will never change. They may have an outlier or two of 9 wins.
Right.
I can't imagine more. But and getting to the playoffs. But for the most part, they're going to be a fledgling
always
team.
Because think about it. What is Bruce? Bruce is just a mouthpiece for Dan.
Right.
And Dan's not selling the team.
No, he's not selling the team.
Bruce Allen
that
is
has to be a scandal.
Here's
for
what
him
Bruce
to sell
Allen
team.
Is. He is a highly paid, underqualified crony. He's a henchman for Daniel Snyder. That's what he is.
Yeah.
I want to thank all the Nats fans for calling us up and giving us your thoughts on the KO Handcrafts award-winning Bare Knuckle Whiskeys and Battle Standard Gins at their magnificent state-of-the-art distillery right up the road in Manassas. KO co-founders and vets Bill Carlson and John O'Mara now proudly offer 10% military discounts to all vets and active military personnel at the distillery. So head on over for a tasting or a tour every Wednesday through Sunday. For more details, visit KODistilling.com or check them out on Facebook. Remember, always drink KO responsibly.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino, Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We will go around the NFL here momentarily with the Junkies Blitz, give you the top five games, sneak in a couple phone calls, including an offer for EB, apparently.
Ooh, I told you it was coming. Offers. I knew it was coming.
All right, let's go to Robert in Manassas. Hey, Robert, how are you, buddy?
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Robert, what's going on?
So, on behalf of Washington Gas, I've got 3 tickets, PNC Diamond Club.
Ooh, money.
They're yours.
That might work.
Diamond Club is buzzing.
That's crazy.
I think I might be in. I was thinking about it. Monday, yep. I said it's not my sweet spot because I'm doing the Johnny Holiday and Golf Tournament.
Hold on. Let's talk to him. Nobody cares about what you're doing. Hold on. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, this is more important.
I didn't touch anything.
He hung up. He got tired of the flaming.
Oh,
a flaming. I said one sentence.
Tell him to call back. Call back, Robert. Somehow we got disconnected.
So he's offering you tickets.
I think I could do it. I prefer Tuesday night's game.
Hey, you can't. Look, beggars can't be choosers. We all know this.
Hey, he did invite EB, not JP.
So well, he said three.
He said 3 tickets.
I know. It sounded like 3 for Eric.
That'd be
need him to clarify.
I would like JP. He could have
I know.
One
I'm
first.
Teasing.
All the guys could go, of course. But, you know, it's crazy. I'm just stunned that it's this difficult for us to go to the game and, you know, be there for the game to talk about the next day on the radio.
I'm not that stunned, just based on history of the show.
Well, I don't
think we've had issues sometimes.
The only other time we've ever had issues was with the Redskins, and the Redskins, it was the most insane thing ever.
I remember the Lafamina era.
The difference is there.
7 or 8 months.
We weren't the rights holders with the Redskins. We're the effing rights holders here. It's just, it's
well,
crazy.
They've never made it this far. So it's true. Unprecedented territory.
Oh, yeah, but they're Major League Baseball's still. Probably like this for St. Louis, too.
Yeah. All right, let's go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation, honoring their sacrifice, their service to help our military veterans.
Robert's not calling back.
Visit donate.org.
Or he's just pulling our chain. I think that's probably what it was.
Happened many times before in the show,
that
too.
Could be the case as well.
All right, so you did have a Thursday night football game last night. Patriots improved to 6-0, beat the Giants 35-14. It's funny, reading some of the recaps in the game, people feel like the Giants' defense actually acquitted themselves very well. They had a fumble return for touchdown had an interception. First time that Tom Brady has had both a fumble and an interception in the same game since 2017. So it's been a while since he's committed a couple turnovers.
He also had two rushing touchdowns.
Yep, two sneaks.
So did Brandon Bolden. Had a one-yarder, I believe.
Yeah, if you have Sonny Michel in fantasy, you're just
and I have him. I know he does nothing.
You just can't pick Patriots running backs. Like, you just have to stay a million miles away.
But apparently they were pretty happy with their defensive effort, even though they gave up 35 points and lost 35-14. Patriots scored, though, with a blocked punt for a touchdown, also had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. So it wasn't a high-scoring affair for the Patriots offense. Daniel Jones continues to struggle. Although reading Shermer's comments, and I saw his touchdown to Tate, I guess it's a
nice
mixed
pass bag.
He has 8 turnovers in his last 4 starts.
Yep.
He was 15 for 31 for a .161 and a touchdown with 3 picks. Patriots defense legit.
I mean, that's one of the best interception defenses I saw was atrocious.
Bad.
Well, I mean, there wasn't a receiver.
Well, he got his arm hit.
Yeah,
and he was throwing.
There wasn't a receiver when there was 20 yards
was hit on that one.
Okay, but where was the receiver?
Yeah, I think he was throwing it out of bounds.
Yeah.
He was trying to throw it out of bounds.
Bad, but it was a bad decision.
Bottom line
way.
Is he's starting to look like a rookie.
You expect that from a rookie.
Yes.
You're going to have growing pains.
I know.
And that's a rookie that played, what, 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he played all the time, right?
Yes, he played a lot. He played a lot of football. Again, he's got all of his weapons out. But again, he also is a rookie, and there's going to be times where he looks like a rookie.
You know what tilts me a little bit? All of the analysts who were pointing out how rookie quarterbacks have fared against the New England Patriots, and they go down the list. Guys
you
under 25, and they go down the list, and they're all losses in New England. It's like, here's how rookie quarterbacks have done in New England. That's how every quarterback has done in New England. Like, who has a good record in New England against the Patriots the last 10 or 15 years? Rookie quarterbacks may have a worse record, but nobody has a sterling record going into
and
Foxborough.
Yet, by the same token, we did have a list of 7 or 8 quarterbacks, rookies, that have beaten them. Now, not necessarily in New England. Are you specifying in New England?
In New England.
Yeah.
Like, they were showing a list on ESPN, and it was just all, I think it was actually guys under 25 against Belichick's defense in New England, and it was just like 23 straight losses.
Yeah, well, but, that's what you expect.
But most teams have losses in New England.
Most teams don't win there.
All right, here are your top 5 matchups this weekend.
Mm.
Going just in order, to be honest with you, from the time. So on Sunday morning, I'll list as my number 5 game. You have a 9:30 game in London. Pretty good matchup, actually, because the Buccaneers, they're in playoff contention. They're 2-3. Panthers go in and take on the Buccaneers. Jameis Winston actually having a really nice year. He's second in the league in touchdowns with 11. Chris Godwin is a monster at wide receiver.
Yep.
125 yards and 2 touchdowns consecutive weeks. But yeah, Carolina is laying 2.5 in this game because since Kyle Allen has taken over as their starting quarterback, they don't lose.
All right, but it's not because of him. It's because C-Mac.
Yes. Right, Christian McCaffrey.
And he's questionable. I think he's going to go. I don't think he's
going to
be.
Looks like he will play.
Yeah.
He's questionable with general soreness.
And they'll give him the ball 20.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's beaten up.
He touches the ball 30 times a game.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course.
He never rests.
On pace for a 2,800-yard season between
total
rushing
yards
and receiving.
Yep.
1 o'clock game, number 4 matchup, Seahawks at 4-1, head to Cleveland, take on a Browns team that, of course, is reeling.
What's the line on this game?
Seattle's laying 1.5.
Yeah.
That's all? Why only 1.5? Are they that
it's
different
weird
on the road?
Seattle's won a couple squeakers, and
still
2 weeks ago, the Browns beat the Ravens pretty impressively, so maybe they're expecting kind of that yo-yoing of the season
for
the
Cleveland
Browns.
I mean, if the Browns lose this game and they're 2-4 and they'd be 0-3 at home, it could be a long year for Freddie Kitchens and
I think it's
Mayfield
already going to be a long year.
Yeah. Well, they need this one.
I would take Seattle.
I need Seattle to win. Drabby, I need your boys to win. I got over 8.5 wins for the
Drabby,
year.
Drabby, how has Clowney played in a Seahawks uniform?
Well, he had a pick 6 a few weeks ago.
I know that one.
Besides that, pretty non-existent. Seattle can't get to the quarterback at all. They got to be in the bottom like 2 in sacks.
Well, they might be able to get to
this
Baker
could be
Mayfield.
The tonic because the offensive line for the Browns is pretty bad.
What about DK?
2 touchdowns. One of them was a 45-yarder last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a nice play.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Having a nice impact. Would you rather have DK Metcalf or Terry McLaurin?
Well, DK is my guy, so I'll take DK, but
McLaurin's looked pretty
good. They're both awesome.
I think I'd rather have DJ Chark.
DJ Chark, not a rookie, though, but he's having a big second year.
Gotcha.
In Jacksonville.
Number three matchup, Texans at 3-2, head to Kansas City to take on a Chiefs team coming off their first loss. Patrick Mahomes banged up. KC laying 4.5 in this 1 o'clock affair. Texans, of course, getting great play from Deshaun Watson last week. Throws 4 touchdowns, I believe.
Five last week. Three to Fuller.
He had about 65 points in my fantasy league. I mean, he just killed it.
By the way, this
should be a shootout.
This is, of course, the Carlos Hyde revenge game narrative going against one of his former teams. Always like to play up that angle.
Also, 1 o'clock game, a number two matchup. Eagles at 3-2 take on a Vikings team at 3-2. Vikings are laying 3 in this game. Kirk, of course, coming off a good game after getting ripped by Adam Thielen. I feel like Kirk got bullied into throwing the ball a lot to Adam Thielen, but that's a winning formula.
Sure. And Thielen banged up heading into this one, questionable. But I'm guessing he's going to play.
He's got to go in this one.
Although I read, I think it was Thielen because I have him on a fantasy team. I think he was just sick.
Okay, he had an illness. You're right.
To me, sick.
Oh, yeah, you're sick.
You're missing a practice. You're not going to miss a game.
You're going to get an IV. You're going to go out there.
Right.
You're going to play.
Like, if it's pulled hammy, I'm more concerned than when I just see sick.
Yeah.
And my number one matchup pits Jason's undefeated San Francisco 49ers. This is a 4-0-5 start against the Rams, who are 3-2. Rams laying 3 in this game at home. Can the Niners get to 5-0?
This is going to be their first real test. They've beaten the Bucks. They've beaten the Bengals. They beat the Steelers without Ben. Obviously beat the Browns last Monday. This will be a real test for
Todd
them.
They've
got to be able to run the ball.
Gurley got banged up in practice. And
I don't think he's going to play.
McVay is making it sound like they're not going to rush him back if he's not close to 100%. So you could see Malcolm Brown there. Could see a little
Although
bit of Darrell Henderson.
He's been a small factor anyway when he was healthy.
True.
Or healthy enough to play.
They've tightened up their defense, though, right? Because they gave up a bunch of points early on. They gave up 30 to the Seahawks. They gave up 55 to the Bucks. Since then, they've only given up 13-9, and then they did win sort of a shootout with the Panthers last week.
It's the ex-Redskins Assistant Bowl, McVay versus Shanny.
This is all about Jimmy Garoppolo.
You'd rather have both of those guys than Cali.
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Of course you would, JP.
You would trade so many first-round picks for those coaches.
By the way, we talked about Travis Kelce earlier having no touchdowns. He does have a touchdown. I can't remember him scoring it, but he does have one touchdown on the ledger.
Well, you expected in five games, you expected more than one.
Correct.
All right, coming up next on a Football Friday, presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino, Charlestown, every game, every bet for real sports fans. We'll get into game one of the NLCS. Nats Cardinals with John Feinstein, best-selling author, right here on The Junkies.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.